Pastor Ken has been leading us through this Summerlicious experience and relating it to Scripture. And when I saw this PowerPoint presentation, I was reminded of that place down on Broadview by Queen called Dangerous Dan's, where they've got like a heart attack burger and they put like an egg on it and bacon and cheese and deep fried this and the whole things that are totally not healthy for you at all. And I was thinking that, you know, wow. But I'm looking at this, and the more I look at this, it reminds me of a lot of different things about our Scripture and our stories. And it reminds me of how sometimes we get together and we go along, we keep piling things on and trying to make things work, and life piles things on us, and we end up with something that looks like this that, wow, that's a lot of stuff, but trying to pick out a single thing in there, we sometimes get lost in there. And I'm reminded that our faith sometimes gets lost in the world where we are because the world wants to pile a whole lot of stuff on us. And some of it we need, but usually a lot of it is human needs and not necessarily our faith-based or God-based needs of what we've got in there. And I was just reminded, keep that picture in your mind in there because I want to go into all the different things we've had in summer and here, but I'm going to come back to that. But I want to go to our scripture that we're dealing with today, which is in 2 Corinthians and reminds me very much of what we are. And it ties in very much with what our opening scripture was and thoughts going in there with Ephesians. It was very good in there. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And it's interesting because the whole chapter before this in Corinthians, Paul boasts about all the stuff he suffered. The whipping, the floggings, the persecutions, the jails and everything else going in there. And yet, like our barbecue, it becomes interesting. In the sense of that I want you to take it into this part of where we are in here. So when we think of summertime and barbecue, I want to get just into this barbecue in here. Google has, if you key in barbecue, the word actual barbecue, you come out with 194 million hits. If I key in recipes for barbecue, I come out with 21 to 25 million. And the primary one that comes out in there is what type of barbecue to buy. Sounds like a lot of times in there when people are going around shopping for the faith. What type of faith should I get? Should I be a Roman Catholic? Should I be a Baptist? Should I be United Church? Should I be Anglican or whatever? There is only one thing in there that we need to do, and we all need to come to that through Jesus, because through Jesus and through that, what Jesus did on through this cross is how we came to our faith and our saving grace. For when we accept Jesus into our lives, we have that medium and that communion, that passageway. Now, barbecues, when we think about barbecues, there's so many different types. You've got your old standard charcoal barbecue. You've got your gas-powered barbecue. You've got your, and then you've got your Napoleons, your Webers, your Gizmos, rotisseries, slices and dices and cooks and timers and everything else. And you know, yeah, well, you know, it's all good. But at the end of the day, we put it on the barbecue and we turn it on and it smells really good. And it's looking good, going along great. And usually what happens, I know with myself and chicken, it usually catches on fire. This is what Paul is talking about going in here about catching on fire. Because when we look at on fire, we say this is barbecue's all going on fire and the food's burning. It's going down in flames. But it's not right away. It takes a while for it. It's like that thorn that he got in his flesh in verse 1 of this chapter. He tells about in there to remind him that Satan has a tendency to come back to us on there. And it's not that he's allowing Satan to win, because he asked God to take away that thorn, it says 3 times, but he asked him more than once, often, to do it. And yet God didn't take it away, and he stopped asking God to take it away, for it reminded him that that thorn that was there, that it was a weakness in there and it was a problem, but that by God's grace and God's embrace, he was stronger for it, because God was going to get him through that. His faith was going to get him through that. And I'm reminded of when we were talking about barbecue, and there was so much things on here. I'm thinking of offerings and sacrifices and everything going in. But I want to take us back into summer barbecue. I'm going to ask you some questions in here right now. How many barbecue? Most people do. Okay. So if we are doing chicken on the barbecue, do you have any special way you prepare it? Do you marinate it sometimes? Or sometimes I've heard people boil it sometimes to get rid of some of the fat so they don't get that flare up of flame, or they've got the water bottle there to spritz it, you know, to put out the fire. Hamburgers, pretty staple thing. You can buy them frozen, throw them on, buy them pre-made, or make your own. You know, sometimes we add spices, season it up a bit. Like we get seasoned. We get seasoned with the Word to add meaning to our lives, because that faith and that seasoning comes in there. And then we've got steaks now. There's some people that like a nice steak on a barbecue. You know, some people prefer T-bones. Some people like ribeyes. Some people like Angus. And some people, if they can really afford, if you're over in Japan, want a Kobe steak. Couldn't afford that if I had it then. I don't know why I'd spend that much money, but that's just me. Different types. And I'm thinking back when we're talking about it, and it reminded me in Scripture of offerings. And it reminded me very much all the way back into Leviticus of the offerings that were made. In Leviticus 6, it pretty much takes it in, of all the different offerings that we had. The different offerings that were there, in the sense that we had of burnt offerings, grain offering, sin offerings, guilt offerings, and a fellowship offering. Each one was prepared differently, as we would do a barbecue in the summer, done for different things and given in there. But probably the greatest one that comes back into that we think about, and I want you to think about this, takes us back to Genesis 4. And it's Abraham. Actually, Genesis 22 is Abraham. Actually, Genesis 4 is Cain brought his fruits. Brought some fruits and put them on the table to offer to the Lord. Now, Abel brought the fat portions of the firstborn of his flocks and put them on, and God found those gifts well-pleasing because they were the first fruits of the land. And all the offerings that we were to be made to God, that God has told us to make, are to be our first fruits. The first harvest, the first crop harvest, we do it. The firstborn of the first fatted calf is the one that is offering. The first dove is offering. And we go in to Abraham, the father of it all in there. And he's going up into the mountain, and he's got his retainers behind him. He has his son Isaac with him, and he's walking up in there. And he turns around and says to them, "You stay here. My son and Isaac and I, we're going to go up to the mountain and we're going to make an offering to God." Now Isaac has been growing up and he's saying, "Father, we have no lamb to offer to God. What are we going to offer to God?" And this is the part that gets hard sometimes. And I want to think about Abraham's faith in here. His faith that is in here. He takes Isaac and puts Isaac on the altar. And Isaac trusts his father to go in there. And Abraham's standing there, probably with tears in his eyes. And he's going to offer his firstborn son to the Lord. And at the last minute, the angel steps in the way. Here's a bleep and stops him. "I know that you believe in the Lord and heart." And there's a ram tied in the bush. caught in its horns in the thickets. Now, if anybody has seen ram horns, you know ram horns are all curled. They're in their tremendous strength in their head and neck, but those horns usually never get caught in there just by the shape of them, because they can twist it and turn it out. They bring the ram and offer the ram. And then they come down from the thing, and God is well pleased with that. And guarantees Abraham and his descendants fruitfulness and multiplication. Now, the part when I was going through this that I found very interesting in there, and we're going to come back to it, is Abraham goes up and says to his retainers, we are going to go up and we will come down. But if Abraham is going to go offer his son, how would he know that he was going to come down with his son Isaac? Is it Abraham's hope that he was going to? Or did God actually plant that inside of him that he was going to protect him and look after him to go in there? When I think about barbecues, and I'm thinking especially of this passage, and I'm going to take it in order coming through in here. In verse 7, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We can relate to that. I'm not just talking about a thorn, because there's things that always get us. For those of us that are drive constantly and have to do a fair bit of travel each way to get to work each day, do we have moments, momentary moments where we're not happy with somebody else on the road and we're not exactly being Christian kind to them? Sometimes we are saying, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Or yet, can we get to a place to where we are in that weakness, in that moment of rage or hate that they cut us off or they're driving silly? Can we go to them and say, God, protect this person to arrive safely? Can we, in our weakness of moment, show God's grace to say, protect him and those around him to arrive safely? Can we be strong in that weakness to go to that other point of where we are? I'm reminded of three times he pleaded for the Lord to take it away from me. Three is powerful in the Bible. It's also about the third heaven they talk about of being in. Also talking about three times Jesus, when he was on the cross, asked for the Lord to take this burden. You know, is this what you want, Father? And yet, the answer came in that weakness of doing it. The answer was already there. That in your faith, you are stronger. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that it's not hard. Because if it's easy and it doesn't hurt, and you found an answer, you found a world answer. You haven't found an answer in here. You haven't found an answer in God's Word. Because God's Word gives us so many precepts that are there that are still relevant today. Any problem that we have in today's world, we can pretty much tie back into something that happened in the same criteria. When we take it in the context of what they lived in, that would be there. We live in an age of information. Everything's tweeted, twittered, emailed, broadcast before it happens. Sometimes as it's happening. And yet, there is that immense sense of unease and unrest. That we get back to this thing of life that looks like a smorgasbord of everything that's there, and we can't figure out what I should do or where I should start. Or does it become like this thing here? Life is so much, I don't know where to start. In our barbecue of life today that we have in here with this, we start at the beginning. We start as very much as Paul said, in my weakness, I become strong. We need to look at the fact in there that in the summerlicious that we've got going in here, that it is God's sustaining grace that he gives us. Not that he doesn't get in, because God is the judge. not us. God will be the judge. It says it for over and over again in Scripture that's going in there, that He will be in there. God tells us in here, in Isaiah, stop bringing me meaningless offerings to us in Isaiah 1 and 13, first chapter 13. Because how many times have we seen people or know people, or we go through a devotion and we're clock watching? We're seeing how long it's going to be. Or people in my United Church faith that I do, which drives me nuts, and it's my pet peeve, and I'm going to share it with you, that they teach them in there and turn around when I go to pulpit supply preach and say, don't preach for longer than 12 minutes. And I'm saying, if you can put a time limit on the Word of God, then you're not listening for the Word of God. Because I fully believe that. Now, I'm not as good as Pastor Ken and going 45 minutes. I don't do that too often because I haven't had a chance to. It's about the only chance I get to try to really expound on something, which is good. And I love it. I love it immensely. There was a movie on, some of you may have heard it coming, some movies coming out of Sherwood Baptist Church in there, down in Atlanta, in Albany, Georgia. The latest movie they have is called Courageous, about being a good father and being a good parent. They've done four movies so far on in there. It's all faith-based. It's about going in. There's a line in the last movie that's in there that ties very much into our scripture today, in that, you know, I maybe started off as a father not very well, but you know what? I want to finish well before the Lord. All of us, when we start in our life and in our Savior going in here, we're like that barbecue. We're a piece of uncooked, raw potential. And as we go through in there, we're seasoned and we're marinated with experience, with our parents bringing us to church school, with baptism, with when we profess our own and come to accept Jesus ourselves, and we do that proclamation ourselves. Maybe at a camp, maybe we're at a youth camp, maybe we're at church. And as we go in on there, the journey has just started. It never ends. It ends in this life to go on beyond when we go be forward. So whenever we are weak in here, and I was thinking about one thing in charcoal on a barbecue, creates off immense heat, burns and sears and cooks food. But charcoal is also a filter and washes away and cleans impurities. How many of you got Brita's in your fridge? It's a charcoal filter. It's charcoal in it. That black stuff is charcoal. Charcoal also in a basement that's damp in there will help remove the dampness of the smell. Heat and filter. The heat can be Satan coming into your life that if you're not careful, you could get burnt, you could get destroyed, you could get led astray. But the charcoal comes in with God in there to help clean and keep you strong. And when we take Jesus and the way through the cross that we have had from Jesus on Calvary, that we will never have to pay that debt. That debt was paid for us. That burning or the searing or that flare-up that happens on the barbecue is there. But we are have to recognize the authority that is there. As Paul does in here, realize that the authority comes in. And this is his whole part where he starts going in here and says, this is why I have... But his authority to preach what he does. The authority that comes from God through Jesus, who has brought him into the fold in here, that to preach and live this way. To preach for the people to come beyond in there. And in the sense of the burnt offerings they were doing in Corinth, and they were offering people and they were offering offerings to God, doing everything that they said they should do. Basically a barbecue to God. When you think about it, they were barbecuing offerings. And some of the people in there said, well, you know, we've barbecued, we've offered the offering to God. So why can't we take that meat and eat it? You know, we've done the firstborn and offered to God rather than throwing it out and letting it go to waste. Why can't we reuse it again? You know what? It sounds really pretty reasonable if you think about it. However, there was another set that said, no, it was an offering to God. And it's God's offering. It's not for us to take it afterwards and make and use it on there. God will provide for us what we need. The main point of that being in there, like us, we are at different stages in our faith journey, in our relationship that we have with God. Some of us are really good at proclaiming our faith. Some of us aren't quite as proclamationist yet. Some are newly into our faith and are developing and walking on that journey. With that meat that was in there, the ones that said no to take it were actually more in strength with their God because they're saying this is God's. And they did not want to do it. And Paul was telling them, no, you can't have that meat to eat it because it's going to harm the community. It causes division in the community. And as Christians, our strength is in community. Our strength is when we come up and lift up and raise it up to God, because in prayer and in power, when two or more come together in prayer, I will hear. I believe, and I fully believe, that God answers all prayers. Except sometimes when we pray, we're trying to tell God how we want the answer to be. Sometimes that happens because we don't understand. But I find that God puts forward to us, as Paul had the thorn in there and asked it to be relieved, and in that weakness that he couldn't do things, found a strength that came and supported him that was stronger than anything else that was in there. Our summer barbecue that we've had today with burning and an offering of gifts going in there tells us that the authority lies with God. The authority that is given to us as leaders to come up and spiritual leaders to preach the word that have been given and said, God tells us, Brian, I want you to go proclaim the word of God, or whoever it is, or to go be involved in a youth camp like Evan is in there. That leadership is building us up rather than pulling us down. We have that awesome responsibility of building people and opening doorways of communication to come in. So that as that barbecue comes in, there's that pleasant aroma, that pleasant thing that says, you know what? This is good. This is good. That people come up and see you and say, what is different about you? The difference is that you have Christ in you. That you have taken Jesus into your heart. As we go from here, and you'll walk down and smell different people barbecuing probably today, and it's summertime, it'll be barbecuing. Each one of those different smells and aromas and flavors that are there are us in God's world. Put together, that comes together to make pleasing aroma to God, to give thanks to God. And when you think about it, when we do barbecuing, we are offering up to God. We are maybe cooking our food, but it was originally done as an offering up to God that was in there. So when we barbecue and we say grace for the food that we get before our meals, and we give thanks for the bounties that God has given us, let us remember that all of this works together and has different stages in there. The hot, the cold, the flame, the water to put out the flame, each is a stage in our development. And today, with the heat that we feel, and the temperature, which isn't too bad today, but the heat that we feel coming in sometimes of the world coming on us turned up, saying, what am I going to do? What do I do next? Is God's grace coming to us. Let us be with God's grace as we go forward from here. Thanks be to God for this time we've had with His words.